Moncrief on News Talk.
The lack of toilets in the streets of Dublin to other parts of the world. Jonathan DeBerke-Butler is with us once again. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
The US we're going to go to first, and this is kind of a disturbing story. Anyway, this is a mother in Rochester in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And what did she do?
Yeah, a woman in Rochester, Minnesota, as you said. Earlier this month, she was in a playground with her own child. And she ended up getting into an argument with another father. And this was because his son, a five-year-old black child, allegedly was rummaging around in her nappy bag, in her diaper bag. Okay, so obviously the child that she had was a little bit younger, I would imagine. And she started to give out to the child, and in that particular session of giving out to him, she used a slur, a racist slur against him, okay, which we'll refer to as the N-word in this particular case.
This is now called the five-year-old the N-word.
Called the five-year-old the N-word, right? Mm. She was then challenged by the father, who of course took out his phone and started recording. And he said to her at one stage, "Why don't you have the balls to say it right now again?" At which point she did turn around and she stuck out her tongue, raised her middle finger, and then used that word again. Now, all of this should be caveated by saying allegedly, all right?
Okay, well, if there's a video there, yeah, then she did say it.
It's all still up in the air for legal reasons. Anyway, we'll say it. So anyway, the video went out on TikTok, it went out on X and various different places, and it's been seen by a lot of people. And she started to get abuse online, right? Somehow they tracked her down on social media and people started abusing her. So she decided she was going to have to move house because of this abuse. So she set up a fundraising page. Now, we would know, usually we'd think of GoFundMe. Now, in this case, there's another fundraising site called GiveSendGo, which is specifically a Christian crowdfunding service. What makes a Christian, I don't know. But anyway, she decided to go on this. And she started the campaign called Help Me Protect My Family. And she started to explain what had happened and why she had to move house. So far, she has raised over $750,000 in her fundraising campaign.
Wow.
Now, the problem with it was that, as you know, with a lot of these fundraising pages, they have comments underneath. And more often than not, people are saying, good luck with your operation, or I hope it works out for you.
Yeah.
But in this case, an awful lot of the donations were accompanied by racist slurs, Holocaust denial, and all the other stuff
that goes along with far right
views or whatever it might be. So at that point, GiveSendGo, the CEO, decided that they'd have to remove the comments from this particular page, but they haven't, as far as I know anyway, to date, taken down the fundraising page itself, even though they have acknowledged that this campaign does have some problems, undoubtedly.
Does she say on the actual fundraising? Now, this woman's name is Hendrix.
Yeah, it's Shiloh Hendrix is her name, yeah, who identified herself as the mother, yeah.
And she says, "I called the kid out for what he was."
"I called the kid out for what he was." That's what she says on the fundraising page, yeah. And she then goes on to say that it has caused my family and myself great turmoil. She described the incident, and she's not apparently going back on it.
Yeah, is anyone taking any sort of action on foot of the original? What happened originally with the child and using the racist term?
So there has been an investigation that has been opened up. So the city of Rochester has addressed the recording, and in a statement they say that it was deeply disturbing. So they seem to be on the side of the child, obviously, and they said that law enforcement is looking into the matter. Now, on the other side, a campaign has started by the NAACP, which is the National Association for the Advancement of Coloured People. They started a page to raise money for the five-year-old and his family. And they have reached nearly $350,000 as well. Exactly what that
money will be
money
used
is
for,
I do not know. But part of me feels that it's just a way for people to show support, really, in a society that is increasingly fractured.
Shiloh Hendrix has 750K in the bank, kind of, so to speak, or will shortly. Is it known how much her house is worth, the house she's living in, and What kind of upscale part of the country is she planning to move to?
I have no idea as to either of those questions, to be honest with you. Yeah. Sorry.
No crime goes unrewarded. Right. They've introduced a curfew in Peru. What for?
Yeah, so Peru is having difficulties. There has been an escalation in crime on a lot of different levels over the last number of years in Peru. In this particular instance, we're talking about mining. Okay, so this is in a region called Pataz, which is about between 500 and 800 kilometers north of Lima. Obviously, it's a big province. That's up in the hills, up in the mountains, so it can be quite isolated in parts. But it's a lot of it is gold mining, and it's a big part of Peru's economy, as you can imagine, right? But there's an awful lot of unregulated and illegal mining that's happening in the area. So they reckon that about $3 billion is made every year in unregulated mining in this particular area. And obviously, because there's so much money involved, there's people looking to win turf wars and gangs are involved. Okay, so in this particular instance, there was a mining company, Peruvian mining company called La Poderosa, and they became aware that illegal miners who were colluding with criminals had occupied a mine of theirs. Okay, so they sent 13 men at the end of April to go and get these guys out. Now, these were security workers, essentially. Okay, they were, when they were sent down into the mine, they were ambushed and then they were subsequently kidnapped. They were stripped, blindfolded, and they were recorded. Okay, so the recordings of those these 13 men in that situation was then sent out to the families. They tried to get ransom payments from them. They were unsuccessful in getting those ransom payments, and so they shot these men point blank and left them down in the mine. Their body wasn't discovered. Their bodies weren't discovered until about 8 or 9 days after they were shot. So as you can imagine, this caused absolute consternation in society in Peru. And the president, Dina Boluarte, has had to take the bull by the horns here. So she's imposed a nighttime curfew from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And she has suspended mining for 30 days in an attempt to sort of, break up these illegal mining groups and stop the whole thing from going. So she sent in the army, all sorts of things.
Because it sounds like cowboy territory. People can just go into a mine.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, there's some crazy statistics on it that... there was 27 ambushes on mining convoys in 2024. And as I said, $3 billion worth of revenue circulated illegally every year from these mines. So it's mad what's going on there.
Astonishing stuff. Yeah. Brazil. not a great one for the Brazilian Tourist Board. If you're not fond of old scorpions, because there's quite a few of them now.
Yeah, there seems to be quite a few. There was a report that was issued there recently using data from the Brazilian Notifiable Diseases Information System. And they found that reports of stings from scorpions are up 155%, apparently.
Oh, my word.
Which is quite a bit. So they say that between 2014 and 2023, there was over 1.1 million scorpion stings in the country, right? And these numbers are significantly up on what was there before, and they're putting it down to increased urbanisation and climate breakdown, climate change as always. So apparently scorpions like places where they can sort of hide out. They're not particularly sociable. They don't like meeting humans and that kind of thing. They are apparently quite defensive, so they'll sooner run away rather than come and be aggressive towards you. But now that they're bumping into people more, they are biting them more often. Mm-hmm. And so that is causing problems.
Yeah. So presumably that's kind of encroachment where they would normally live. They're kind of being driven out of those areas.
That's exactly what it is.
And like if you have all these people being stung, and now this kind of TV perception, you get a scorpion sting and then it's curtains for some seconds later. That's not necessarily true.
No, it's not. It's not. So first of all, if we take statistics from 2024, right, when there was, they think, 200,000 stings, right, 133 people died, right? The percentage of people that normally die in comparison to reported stings is 0.1%. The most vulnerable people are the elderly and children. But if you're fine strapping gentlemen like yourself and myself and you're strung by a scorpion, you'll probably survive, although it'll be very sore.
We'll laugh it off.
Absolutely. A couple of pints will cure it, you'd be grand.
Exactly. That's the best cure for everything. Now, a bit of a theme in today's Around the World, as we go to Kenya. Ant smuggling? I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Ant smuggling, absolutely. Neither did I have to say up until recently. I'm not an expert in this particular field, but these four experts were, obviously, and they were caught doing something they shouldn't have done. So the four suspects involved were young, okay? So two Belgians, someone from Vietnam, and a Kenyan as well. And the two Belgians were 19, the Vietnamese and the Kenyan were in their early 20s, right? They attempted to smuggle 5,000 queen ants from Kenya to various parts of the world. It's thought that they were going to try and bring them to Europe and to Asia. And apparently they're worth an awful lot of money, right? So on the black market, you can get a giant African harvester ant for $220 each.
My word.
So it's quite a significant amount of money. And given that one of these Belgian chaps had bought 2,500 queen ants for a nice fee of just €200, he was going to make a handsome profit there until, of course, he got caught. The two Belgian guys sort of pleaded, look, we didn't know what we were doing. You know, we were only coming over to Kenya to collect a few ants. The magistrate who sentenced them said, while collecting a few ants might be considered a hobby, being found with 5,000 queen ants is beyond a hobby. And that was before she sentenced them to a year in prison, which they can get out of if they pay a fine of the equivalent of $7,700. So I fancy that their folks might come up with the checks and they'll be able to leave the country.
Yeah, is it clear what they intended to do with these ants once they got them out of Kenya?
Yeah, so they had them in test tubes apparently, over 2,200 test tubes. So presumably they were going to put them on a plane or some sort of packaging, and they were going to sell them off. So I was looking into it because I sort of said to myself, well, what the hell would you pay 220 quid for a queen harvester ant for? They live for 25 years.
Wow.
These things, they're about three or four times the size of your regular ants that we get here in Ireland. And, you know, they're quite sought after. So, you know, you'd have them for a long time as a collector. I mean, this Belgian guy, or one of the Belgian guys alone, he has something like 10 ant colonies back home in Belgium, and he's part of a gang on Facebook called Ant Gang, which they didn't put too much imagination
scary,
in.
Really, yeah.
But there's money in it, obviously, you know.
Yeah. So is it? I assume then that this trade is regulated to some degree.
I think it's regulated to some degree within Kenya, but I think these ants are protected. I'm not an expert in this field, the Kenya Wildlife Service came out and said that the ruling was a good thing, and they're happy about it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about the you know, the provisions or the regulations around the legal trade of ants.
Okay. Right. Finally, we'll go to the country that makes The Handmaid's Tale look like a light romantic comedy. What have the Taliban done now?
Yes, so the centre of the universe when it comes to Great Crack, the Taliban have decided that they're going to ban chess. They're basically saying that it has been prohibited indefinitely until its compatibility with Islamic law, according to them, can be determined. So that's it. They have, since seizing power in 2021, taken away pretty much everything that people can enjoy, all sorts of sport. I don't think you can do boxing there anymore. They got rid of mixed martial arts last year as well, because apparently contact with the face is un-Islamic as well. Although, you know, there's other things that you could probably do. So they just don't seem to want anybody to have fun.
Is there some specific reason why chess is un-Islamic?
Yeah, so they basically think that they fear that it is a source of gambling. So they reckon that young men are going into coffee shops and tea shops and hanging around playing chess, and they're betting against each other. I don't know if they have any proof of that at all. And I think they're just bored because people aren't doing anything and they're just making stuff up. They actually have a spokesman for the government sports directors, but given that there's no sport
more
there,
allowed,
what is he actually doing?
Maybe naive, but like chess is hugely popular was my impression, in most Muslim countries.
As far as I know, it's allowed, and it's as popular there as it is as it is anywhere else. And for some reason, they've decided to put a stop to it.
God save us. Right, what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, okay, Friday, the sentencing for the man who's has been found guilty of attempted murder of Salman Rushdie will go ahead. That's Friday. Saturday, of course, the Eurovision Grand Final, which we'll be all staying up for. And then on Sunday, there is a load of elections across Europe. So there's a presidential election in Romania, which is the one that we've kind of been looking at on and off over the last couple of months. There's also presidential elections in Poland, and then there is National Assembly elections in Portugal as well. So busy times on the continent.
Indeed. Jonathan, thanks a million. As ever, Jonathan De Burka Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.